Backseat Box Office, episode number 51 for the weekend of September 9th through the 11th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony. Hey, this is Andrew.
I am not participating in that.
Well, considering how explosive my start for last week's show was, I thought I'd tone it down a little bit to start out the new season. I don't want to go overboard too quickly.
Hey, yeah, because we are the Backseat Producers, and this is
Backseat Box Office.
Groovy.
All right, so you are going to be hosting.
I'm not participating in that either.
But are you participating? Are you participating in Sausage Fest?
Well, shit, yes.
Duh.
That's like duh.
Winning.
All right. Thanks.
Did you? I was listening to. I didn't see the video, but I was listening to Hollywood Babylon. Uh-huh. They were talking about. This was a few weeks ago. They were talking about how Charlie Sheen went to like. Juggalo Fest or something.
Oh my god.
Gathering of the Juggalos tried to get the crowd to like say duh winning and got pelted with various objects.
That's fantastic.
Seems like a disrespectful way to treat the truth torpedo.
Seems like a disrespectful way to treat the Juggalos.
That is a stretch.
That is also true. Yeah. So hey, I hear we finished the first season.
We finished, well, actually, it's not the first season. We finished the last season.
As the guy
season.
Who writes the show notes, it's season one is done.
Okay.
We can think of the stuff beforehand.
Considering I am not going to bad talk the guy who writes the show notes, that happened.
Because I already wrote them, so yeah. I made the decision, just call it season one. Everything else was preseason.
Boom.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We're in preseason. Season one now done.
Season
we're
one
now
done.
Beginning season two.
Is this like the playoffs?
No, I mean, I think if you want to get into that, you could call the playoff. I don't know. I don't want to go any farther with this analogy, actually. I was going to, and then that little voice in my head's like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Just stop playing Tony's games. It doesn't ever end well.
Just a bad idea.
You're falling right into his hands. Yeah, season one's done. We have a champion.
And well, you have to be careful because they're just my hands. If you were falling into Jonathan's hands, you would have been all right. Wow. It's yeah. Cushiony soft. It's okay.
It's like falling into a meadow, for God's sake. A big meadow.
Rolling hills.
It's like if the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man wasn't trying to kill you and instead your friend.
Well, you got to watch out for those elephants that are grazing, you know, along the Serengeti at the water holes there on his hands.
I am a nature reserve.
That's fair. And you dive into bushes, so.
Season one's done. And we have a champion.
We do have a champion. And the champion for season one is Tom.
Tom with an average score of 22.5 points.
Go figure. One of the non-U.S. playing.
Where's Tom from?
The U.K. He's got quite the accent. Yeah. Actually, Tom was... he actually at one point proposed doing a U.K. version of Backseat Box Office. That I dropped the ball in communication and then I picked it up and tossed it to him, and he was like, dude, I'm busy. I'll get back to you on that. Well, apparently he was busy prognosticating because he ended the season with a 22.56 average score.
Well, you know, he did sell his soul to the devil down at the crossroads at midnight. I mean,
it happened.
It that's a lot of mojo to work against.
That's true. And Jeff Bailey ended up in second.
Congrats,
at one
Jeff.
Point, I don't remember where he was at one point, but at one point I know he was below the hosts.
Yeah.
Like when we weren't doing that great. And
he has battled his way up.
I'd say
he was like in the mid teens,
all the way up to number two. So that I think, you know, Tom started strong and just stayed strong for his whole run. I gotta be honest, I'm a little more impressed with Jeff because he pulled it out and climbed hard. Good for him.
Well, and to round out kind of the top five of the overall winners, we had Tad at number three with a 21.5, BD at 21.25, and Art at 21.2. And that is also a pack of guys who are just very strong, kind of straight from the beginning all the way, pretty much all the way through.
Yeah, and Tom, Tad, and BD all started at pretty much the same time. They were all within a couple of weeks of each other. They all kind of started as a group, and I think they all lost their asterisk at about the same time, and we all cursed them when they kept participating and they lost their asterisk and they wouldn't stop participating.
They had an average score of like 23 for the longest time.
Yeah, and they finally dropped down into the 21s. Bastards.
Sounds like somebody's bitter about not being in the top 10.
Tim, you're a dick.
And to clarify that cryptic remark, Jonathan was in the top 10. He was in the ninth spot. He came in the best of the host. With
number
20.
One of the hosts.
Number one of the hosts. Congratulations.
Number nine overall.
Even if we count Tim as a pseudo host.
That's true.
It's true.
That is true.
And then Tim was right behind you at number 10. So Tim also in the top 10 with 20.6. Tim, as you might remember from last week, Tony
Let's be really precise. 20.63. Because I've got
7.895.
Because I've got a 20.61.
One hundredths
of a point behind him. And who participated this week and who didn't?
It seems like Tim just had a better strategy than you.
So therefore, I think we can use this as a jumping board, a launch pad.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about anyone below us, right?
No.
we talked about Jonathan, Tim, and Tony. There's no other host we need to talk about.
Yeah, so Andrew ended up in 14th, but we won't talk about that.
Sergio, you took my comfy spot at 13. This displeases me.
Yeah, as close as Tim and I were with our 200ths of a point separating us, Sergio and Andrew were less than 100th of a point different. And Sergio didn't participate this week.
Now this is a good jumping off spot.
So,
bang.
One of the vexing points of the scoring. You know, we went through the summer and it was all, you know, champagne and hookers and blow, because we had one or two new movies coming out every week, and it was always really obvious what was going to be in number one. Everything was just going to shift down. There were 25s just flowing like ones raining on a hooker or on a stripper. And then August and September happened. And things, I prefer to refer to this as the dark time. And then we had people that just kind of stopped participating or cherry-picked, as it were, the weeks that they would participate. Not to say that was a valid strategy or anything like that, but it might have been. Yeah, we're yanking that rug out from under you right now.
What you're saying is that based upon the rules we created, they formulated an effective strategy to win.
They did.
Damn them.
You know, it's your own fault for talking about gaming the system all the time.
They gamed the system.
No, I think our main problem is that we can't do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. though, to be fair,
we should start doing that. I'm not participating this week. To be fair,
there were opportunities for you guys to have done that, but you called in your picks.
Well,
we have integrity.
That's what we're calling
sad
it.
Sad people who put way too much importance upon the show.
or that's the truth. One of the two. Integrity or desperation.
Yeah.
So this will be episode 51.
Yep.
Next week, this podcast will have not missed a week.
It's true.
Just for a whole year. And I can confidently say I've never been part of a podcast that has done that. We'll celebrate that little victory next week. Yeah, we are changing the rules slightly. The point system is going to work the same way as it has before. The big difference is going to come if you miss a week. We are going to allow for a couple of...
Now, hold on real quick. To the listeners, grab your pens, grab your paper. Just be ready. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. So, if you are able to let us know ahead of time that you are not going to be participating for a specific week because of whatever, you get a bye.
You get
two of those. Because this is going to be about an 8-month cycle. I mean, to be fair, between now and Memorial Day, which is going to end the season, it's about 8 months. So you get two passes. The holidays are going to come up. You're going to forget. Things are going to happen. It's okay. We'll let you have two passes. After those two passes, any week that you do not participate, and as long as you're an active participant, you will get penalized. And the penalty will go as follows. We will take the lesser of either the average score that week amongst everyone who participated or your average score and subtract one from that number. So as an example, if you're rocking a 20.5% and you miss that week and the average score amongst everyone is like a 23, you're getting a 19.5 for that week. If you've got that same 20.5 and the average score is a 15 for that week, you're getting a 14. So it is going to, you're not going to want to miss. I mean, who wants to miss? This is a fun show. It's fun to participate. It can be nerve-wracking sometimes.
The difficult choices make it entertaining.
It does. It does. And you know what? There are going to be times when a valid choice is to not participate and take the 11.
Just accept it.
Just take the bullet.
Hey, there could be a week where four new movies come out and you pull a 25. I mean, it's happened.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Last week, two of the hosts got 25 and 24. So,
self-aggrandized much? What?
What? I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't name names.
We were podcasters.
We never said it was Jonathan and I who did that.
You never mentioned that.
I'd never talk about how I got a perfect score on a week when nobody expected to get a perfect score. I mean, I don't know why you'd think that about me.
And you never skip over like the host who's in fourth place as if he was unimportant. That would never happen either.
Or
we were trying to save your ego is what we were doing.
Yeah. You know,
trying to help you with that.
That patient's been on life support for years now, so don't worry about it.
There will be an update to the rules to further clarify all this if there's any questions. Hey, you know what?
Oh,
people are sending in questions. Voicemail. Bring it. It's fine. The voicemail has kind of dropped off, so we could bump it back up. Looking forward to more, hopefully, of the Beast Family show, considering we've got four of you now participating. So the Beast Family Hour. I can stop doing the result show altogether. You guys can take it over. So
subcontract the result show out to the Beast Family. I like it.
I'll do it. If it's one less that I have to record, I will do that. There was something else I was going to say, and now it has just completely slipped my mind.
Well, for the full leaderboard from first to 22nd, or actually even a little farther than that, I believe, You can check out the BSBO scoring page, and there's a link at the top of backseatproducers.com, and you can see where everyone ended up for the season.
Yes. Oh, one final note. I'm also going to very clearly state in the rules that noon Central Time in the U.S. is going to be the deadline, and it's going to be a hard deadline. There have been a couple occasions where people have slipped the deadline and I've let it slide.
But no more.
No, because a couple of times when it's happened, the scores were, it was obvious that the people didn't look at any of the early results or the estimates that were in. And then there's been a couple of times when it was questionable. Maybe they did legitimately have good picks, maybe not. And I just don't want there to ever be that question. So just to emphatically state that noon is going to be the deadline, because typically we don't get any kind of estimates before noon for the Friday, estimates.
So that's noon Saturday, United States Central Standard Time.
I will get the actual UTC. I think it's -6. I think.
I guess I have my phone here.
It's -5.
It's -5 or -6, depending on whether it's daylight saving time or not.
Because it's -7 for Mountain when it's not daylight saving time.
Okay. Yeah, so that would be -6 when it's not daylight saving time. And -5 when it
minus
is.
-5 for, yeah.
Yeah, so right.
Did you guys know that for Brad right now it's 2:30 tomorrow afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
He lives in the future.
I know, he's so him and Riv, they're just like these fantastic beings from the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Tony, I've seen these symptoms before. I'm recognizing a pattern here.
Uh-oh.
You've got second year professoritis.
Mm.
Like in the first year you're cool, you're like, I trust you.
I'm cool and hip, and you boys have gamed the system.
You'll come to my class on time. You won't abuse the attendance policy. I will accept the occasional late paper if you have a good excuse. Now you're like, no, fuck all of you. You will be in my class. You will be here. I give you two absences.
That's going to happen.
I don't have the papers in my hand 5 minutes before class starts. You don't get a grade.
That's fair.
Mom, is that you?
I expect a full syllabus, Tony.
Mm.
Reading assignments, you know.
Amongst our new regulations, is there a genetic typing to make sure people are who they say they are? Are we going to, accept things signed in blood?
We're going to the Google method and no more pseudonyms, first, middle, last name. You have to make sure you include your social security number when you register. Don't check your credit scores, though, for a good 2 years after you do that.
You know, the funny thing is that I had an idea of a prize I was going to give to whoever came in first, but then you told me Tom lives in England.
Oh.
And I'm familiar with international shipping costs.
Mm.
So I think I'm just going to be quiet. I might even edit this right out.
For Tom, for his win, things may have worked out a little bit differently if shipping costs would have been manageable for a prize stateside. But what we're going to do is we are going to get you a Amazon UK gift card so you can purchase a DVD or Blu-ray film of your choice, preferably one of the probably close to 200 movies that we've talked about since the show has started.
And preferably, of course, a Relativity
film. Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
Screw you.
I'll throw in a couple extra bucks if it's a Relativity.
Oh, yeah. I will, too.
We'll buy two Relativity films. You have to buy Season of the Witch and Take Me Home Tonight.
Oh, you can buy whatever one you want. Just make sure that you take a picture of yourself holding them with, like, a thank you card to Andrew.
You guys suck.
Yep. That works.
So congratulations, Tom, and we'll be in touch with you about that.
Congratulations, Tom, and you're getting handicapped for season two.
you start -5. Good luck.
Every week he gets -5.
Every week.
Just take 5 off the top of every score.
That may be... No, that's about... No. Well, okay.
If he misses a week, it's a 0.
If he sends us a relativity film, of a picture of himself with relativity films, -5 every week. I'm good with that.
All right. Let's talk about what happened at the box office last week.
I guess we could do that. I thought we might just... I got nothing. Okay, so this is what happened at the box office. It's too late. I can't be witty. I mean, I'm not witty anyway, but I can't even try. So this is what happened to the box office this past weekend. Again, just as a reminder, we go Friday through Sunday. So
yes.
At number one, I mean, a lot of people picked The Help at number one, but I don't think anyone expected the weekend gross to actually go up.
That was nuts.
Which it did. It went up to $14.5 million. It went up exactly 0.4 of a percentage point from the previous week.
That... I mean, good for them, but how could you expect that?
That rarely happens, especially after it's been out for 4 weeks, and it started as a fairly wide release film anyway. It wasn't like the one of the Oscar contenders, like The Fighter, that started out in 20 theaters and then started growing.
Yeah.
So I mean, it started as a wide release, and it didn't drop at all. Just boom, actually went up a little. Then at number two, The Debt. Debuted with $9.9 million. At number three, we had Apollo 18, $8.7 million. At number four, at number five, we had Rise of the Planet of the Apes from Fox. Hey, did I tell you I had a resolution for this season?
What, not to mention any relativity pictures?
Yep.
Fantastic.
So no, I guess at number four we had Shark Night 3D from the studio that must not be named with $8.4 million.
Voldemort Studios.
Voldemort Studios. That's good.
Volditivity.
So Tony, no, Jonathan, tell us what you did.
Let me see. I apparently got 20 because. I picked The Help at number one. Apollo 18 and Shark Night, I had shifted up two spaces because I thought The Debt was going to come in at number four, and it didn't. And then Columbiana. We were questioning Box Office Mojo last week on why they didn't mention Columbiana in their top five prediction thing, and it turns out they... apparently do that for a living, so
they may actually get paid.
So yeah,
what's up with that?
If I did this right, I lost a point for Columbiana, I lost 2 points for The Debt, and I lost a point each for Shark Night and Apollo 18, which gives me 20 points.
Well, and do you want to? You had a very special achievement this week, and you kind of alluded to it there. Would you like to talk about it a little bit more?
I did the math right for a change. I figured it out. I went through ahead of time. I think I tried to figure out your two scores, and then I gave up just because I knew I did better. But because I mean, I didn't put Apollo 18 at number one, so
yeah,
there you go.
Pretty much guaranteed that I did better. But I did the math on my own, and I came up with the right number. I'm in tears.
36 weeks into the season.
This is a big step for me.
Congratulations, man. I'm proud of you.
I need a moment.
So, Tony, how many points did I end up with this week?
You ended up with 15.
I didn't do well. I had Apollo 18 number one, as Jonathan pointed out, which cost me 4 points. Shark Night 3D, I had at number two. Actually, number four cost me 2 points. I had The Help at number three. It was actually number one. There's another 2 points. I had The Debt at number four. It was number two. Ooh, that'd be 2 points again.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, at number five, at Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which was right! Yeah! 20%, baby.
Go chimps.
I'm going old school.
Yeah, I got a 17 this week. I had Apollo 18 at number one, which, yeah, 4 points there. The Help at number two lost a point. Shark Knight 3 at number 3 lost a point. Columbiana at number 4 lost 2 points. And Rise of the Planet of the Apes at number 5, which was right. I was incorrect about the debt. And I have to say I'm happy in a way that I'm incorrect about the debt and that it came in as high as it did, because I honestly didn't expect that it would. And I'm glad that it did, because it looks like it's deserving of the audience that it got, and I still want to go see it. But I did see Planet of the Apes this weekend, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
How was it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Julie and I went to see it Saturday evening, and she almost cried at a few points because people were being mean to the apes.
You know, I have not heard anybody have anything bad to say about Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable, and even if you're not familiar with the franchise at all, you can get enjoyment out of it, because Julie's never seen it. She's never sat down and watched a whole Planet of the Apes movie. She's aware of, you know, the iconic moments in it. But there was a lot of it, a lot of the inside stuff that it was kind of lost on her. Like, spoiler, one of the things going on in the background is, like, occasionally you'll see things on the television about a manned launch to go to Mars. And it's the Icarus. And later on, you see a headline from the newspaper about the Icarus, and it's lost in space ? So it's a nice callback to the fact that there is a ship lost that will eventually come back to the planet in the Planet of the Apes, you know, proper film, and that will be the Icarus. And she didn't catch any of that. She wasn't paying attention to it, and she didn't realize the significance of it. Hmm. Right. But it doesn't take anything away. It's nice little Easter eggs throughout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Background information.
Yep.
Well, and just to sum up the host scores, from what I heard from the three of us, we all got 20% this week and are equal in all ways. So good way to round out season one.
That is true.
You know, I can think of no good place to insert this, so I'm just going to...
That's what she said.
I'm going to non-segue this. I can think of lots of good places where she can
go on.
Anyway, I didn't, of course, as usual, I didn't see any new movies this week.
What?
But I was considering going to see The Debt today.
Mm.
And then I remembered that I had to edit The Way of the Game, and I didn't want to have a repeat of last week. I was like, oh, it's late.
Hey, it's so, Thursday.
Yeah. but I did see, as I was scrolling through the various movie listings, at our local art house here, our cinema cafe thing, they have two movies that look surprisingly good. There's one called, I want to say, Take the Block, which it has the non-Simon Pegg guy from Shaun of the Dead and Paul and the fat guy.
The not-Simon Pegg guy? Simon Pegg and not-Simon Pegg, right?
The other guy.
Yeah, there are a couple of people I know by what they're not, or, you know... Something like bearded guy from The Hangover.
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Bearded guy.
I should have waited just a little bit longer to see how Andrew would have said it.
I delayed for a second trying to put the syllables together right in Galifianakis. It might have been ugly if I hadn't stopped for a second.
See why I prefer bearded guy?
And I think you're talking about Nick Frost.
I believe that's right.
Probably. But he... I'm not really sure what his role seems fairly small in this. The movie itself, though, let me get back to the main point here. The movie itself is, it's like alien invasion happens in South London, in like the hood part of South London. And it's up to a group of like 13-year-old juvenile delinquents to take on these aliens. And it looks like a weird mix of, I don't know, Alien or, you know, scary suspense kind of thing with Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead kind of humor. So that one looks actually pretty good. I'm a little bit worried about the accents. I couldn't entirely understand what all of them were saying, but it is South London. And the other one is called Another Earth. This one, I heard nothing about it. Apparently it won. It was a winner at Sundance. Where there's a discovery that there's another Earth that is a direct copy of our Earth. It's got like several of the clips in the trailer have this great view of like Earth hanging over the horizon of Earth.
Nice.
And apparently something happens, like I guess the story follows a woman and a man, and if I understand the trailer, the woman was driving, they were both driving at the time the discovery was made of the second Earth, and it freaked out the woman so much she crashes into the dude's car and I'm guessing kills his family. And then she goes, if I'm understanding the trailer right, she goes to make amends. And then something happens and she doesn't, and she gets involved with the dude, it looks like. And then through the whole thing, there's this contest running. They show little clips of it. There's this contest running where you can go to the other Earth and like find out what's there. You can win a trip to the other Earth and go meet your other self. So
yeah, that sounds like it's a great idea.
Sounds like a way to kind of thin the population, honestly.
We're having
a contest.
It's really weird, but it's one of those things. It's like, that looks really cool. Like I was looking at the moving listings just to see, because I was thinking about going to see The Debt, and I'm like, man, maybe I'll go to the cinema cafe for the first time ever.
I would like you to go there in the next week and see this movie and come back and tell us about it.
I will attempt to do that because it sounds really cool.
All right.
I like how Andrew's just giving out assignments now.
we have turned into a classroom.
That's true. That's true.
Mandatory attendance requirements. Only valid excuses will be accepted.
Dress codes come in season 3.
Man, okay. Seriously, if you make us wear pants, I'm out of here.
That would be wrong.
No pants is going to be the dress code.
That is the dress code.
Yeah, that's okay.
And that's going to be part of the submission. That's going to be the part of the submission process for your movies. You have to take a picture of yourself holding your list. Not wearing pants.
I don't know if I'm on board with that. No, I don't. I think that's not right.
Your face doesn't necessarily have to be visible.
I think you're opening a can. I think there are some unintended consequences here, Tony. You're not thinking about, man.
Hey, Adam's not playing, so I'm not that worried about it.
I'm pretty sure
it's not like it's going to be.
He would.
Yeah, he probably would. He'd write them on his taint.
Him and Rob Justice would be in
between the two of them.
Yeah, and Sergio's playing. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got a point there.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, season three's worlds have changed again.
It's gonna get dark. It's gonna follow the television trope. Season one was strong. Season two, it gets a little iffy. They try to go for a formula. They tighten things up, and it just doesn't really work.
Season three, we have the musical episode.
Yeah.
Season three, one of us dies.
Ooh. This is gonna be exciting.
And the listeners get to vote as to which one of us dies.
I was just
like a death in the family.
A Gen Con curse, but
yeah, well, that's possible.
But if there's a chance that I'll survive, I'm all for it. Let's do the voting thing.
Andrew's body was found in bed with giant sausage-like bruises around his neck. The killer cause of death is still unknown.
Hey, I would be better than that. I have played L.A. Noire.
I have.
I know how these things work.
All right. New movies.
New movies. What is coming out this week?
Hey, well, the first kind of the one big release is Contagion.
Mm.
It's coming out in 3,100 theaters. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh. It's got Matt Damon, Kate Winslet, Marion Cotillard, and Jude Law.
And a host of other people.
Yeah. It's all about a deadly virus spreading out of control and becoming a global threat, spanning four different continents.
It's Rise of the Planet of the Apes 2.
It's 28 Days Later preview.
No, it's a movie based on Pandemic, the board game.
Ooh, that's better.
Along the same lines as Battleship. I mean, they got the rights. They made the movie.
Well, you know, we actually played some Pandemic here at the house on Sunday night, and we played twice. The world died in fire both times. Are bad.
How many people did you play with?
Three?
Yeah, that was your problem. I found it's about 50-50 with two people.
Yeah.
But, once you add in a third or more, everything just goes to hell. Like, we might as well just take all of the blocks, put them all on the board, save yourself half an hour. This is what it's going to look like in the end anyway. Everyone will be dying of something.
Well, you know, that's kind of how I feel about golf. I mean, I feel like golf, and I've done this, the best way to play golf is to get your buddies together, go out to that first tee, take a look around, be like, man, it's beautiful out here today.
And just start
drinking. Grab your clubs, head back to the clubhouse, and grab a chair, get a drink, and just enjoy the day.
Yeah.
My one experience with golf is we went up to the first hole, we looked around and said, man, it's gorgeous out here today. We then attempted to play and got kicked out. Mostly because on the first hole, we were letting people play through.
Wow.
I'm sorry. On the first tee, we were letting people play through.
That's brutal.
It was ugly.
Well, you know, I saw Happy Gilmore and thought golf might be a great sport to try out. Turns out, not like the movie at all.
No.
They don't like it when you bring hockey sticks.
So Contagion, first big release. By far, it is opening in the most theaters.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else to add about that.
There you go.
No, it's if you haven't seen the advertising, you really haven't been paying attention. It's out there.
And if you've never played Pandemic, what's wrong with you? Go out and buy it. It's a great game.
I've never played it, so apparently there's something wrong with me.
Well, it's a good game, and I know, say, Jonathan enjoys the traitor aspect in a game like Shadows Over Camelot and whatnot, and the first expansion for the game adds that aspect in as well.
Because Pandemic needs to be harder.
Well, I think they may balance that a bit, and I haven't played the first expansion. From what I've heard, I think they balance that a bit with some of the other things they introduce. So I could be wrong, though. I mean, you could just die horribly quicker. I don't know. So speaking of dying horribly, let me just transition away from that. Warrior is opening in, I believe it's 1,700 theaters from Lionsgate.
Mm-hmm.
Do either of you guys like MMA? So that's a no.
I've never really watched it, so I'm not familiar with it.
Like who? Okay.
Mixed martial
MMA.
Arts.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm trying to watch the trailer at the same time, and that turns out to be a bad idea. No, I don't particularly care to see men punch each other in the nuts.
So. Okay. Well, that's technically not something they do, but okay. On purpose, anyway. Typically, it's a bad misaimed knee might land in the nuts, and they usually stop the fight at that point. But, and you know, I really like MMA. I'm not as big a fan as I used to be back about 10 years ago. I was a really big MMA fan. About 4 years ago, I just kind of fell out of it since then. But I still kind of keep up a little bit. But even as a big MMA fan, this movie doesn't appeal to me. It kind of tells the story of these two brothers who are estranged. One kind of plays this older guy. Young guy plays this guy back from Iraq, this younger guy. And they end up in this MMA tournament. And they each have financial issues. And so they're both trying to win this middleweight tournament, 16-man tournament. I just don't care. I don't care.
Is this trying to be like a fighter?
It looks like a wrestler, fighter, Rocky.
Yeah, Oscar contender.
Yeah.
Is that what it's shooting for?
It seems like it's taking itself way too seriously.
It seems to be.
You watch the previews, there's a lot of emotion, sentiment, estranged family relationship discussions.
Not enough people punching each other in the nuts.
That would have gotten my attention a little bit quicker, yeah. it stars a decent cast of people. Nick Nolte plays the dad. Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy play the brothers.
Do you think there's going to be any sort of crossover of people like looking for a Bane preview with Tom Hardy in it?
Maybe.
There might. I have known people to go to movies for less. I'm not kidding. I have known people that will buy a ticket to a film they are not interested in because there's a rumor that a teaser trailer for an upcoming film that they're ridiculously interested in, they will go, they will watch the trailers, and they will leave. I've known people who have done that.
I am not paying $9 for a trailer.
No, I...
You know, and I really enjoyed the fighter. I really enjoyed the wrestler. But this does not seem to reach that level of acting in drama.
No.
It does not look like it's well done.
I agree. And I agree. I mean, I agree about the wrestler and the fighter. Those were great films.
Oh, yeah. Mickey Rourke and the wrestler was just amazing.
Yeah. I don't know about this one. I will pat it on its head. I will pat it on its head and send it on its way.
And then a movie that's so dumb, it could be amazing.
I've heard
Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star.
I've heard the title of this film. This is all I know about it.
Jonathan, did you watch the trailer yet?
I'm watching it right now.
I will sit here quietly while you watch it.
It is uncomfortable.
What's the premise?
The idea, so from what I can tell here, you have a bucktooth moron.
Yep.
Who finds out that his parents were porn stars.
Yep.
And decides that he needs to be a porn star.
He needs to follow in his parents' footsteps.
You know what this is? This is I get it. This is a parody of that, the Big Dick movie.
What?
Yeah, I don't... what's it called? The one with Marky Mark, where he had a big penis.
I know what you're talking about now. It was all about Club 50. Was it 54?
No.
No.
It took place at Club 54, right?
Bits and pieces.
Bits of it did, I think.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I never saw it, though.
Yeah, it's...
Dirk Diggler. No, that's the character he played in the movie.
Right, it's not the name of the movie.
Boogie Nights.
That's the
Boogie. Yeah, there you go.
Boogie Nights. This is looks like a parody of Boogie Nights because there have been at least three scenes where they've been like, show him what you've got. He's dropped his trousers and everybody's been like, it's really not all that impressive. Which kind of is what I think about this movie after having seen 2/3 of the trailer. It's really not all that impressive.
So who stars in this wonderful piece of cinema?
Nick Swardson, Christina Ricci, Don Johnson, and Stephen Dorff.
Wow.
Nick Swardson plays Bucky. I don't know who plays what else because that's not included in the YouTube synopsis.
Christina Ricci plays his girlfriend.
Don Johnson plays Sonny Crockett.
What's that?
Does Don Johnson play Sonny Crockett?
I don't know.
Because if he doesn't, I don't think I want to see this movie. Now, if he plays,
co-written by Adam Sandler.
If he plays Sonny Crockett, I just might go see it.
But, you know, I gotta be honest. This isn't a movie I'd go out and pay money for, but this is a movie that if it were on cable or on streaming, I would probably watch it. Because it looks like it's so dumb, it could be brilliant.
This could be a good movie to get like 14 people together in a room and watch it. And
drunk.
And then record a podcast.
Yeah, no, that would probably be good. But in one of the great, you know, things they talk about, his appeal is like, oh yeah, they love it. All the girls feel like their guys are really well endowed after they watch a porn with him. There's like this one girl, he's you know, Bucky's like signing her thing. She
makes
like,
it look like I have a big
cut off.
Well, supposedly that's why Ron Jeremy is the star that he is, because he looks like a little troll. And it's like guys look at him and are like, man, he can get those hot chicks.
Well, yeah,
I got a shot.
Back in the day, you had to have actual stamina instead of just Viagra.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, yeah.
It that was a big matter part what of it. You looked like as long as you could
perform.
Have sex for hours on end and then orgasm on command.
Or perform.
There you go.
I kind of like my way of phrasing, I'll be honest. Phrasing.
I could have gone more vulgar if you'd like.
I know you could have.
I'm sure we all could.
I tried to be clinical about it.
I'm not questioning your abilities.
I like one thing I find amusing about Ron Jeremy is how he always uses like almost clinical terms for body parts when he's talking. I just find that amusing.
He was in Ghostbusters.
The first one?
I think so.
The
second one.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember the first one.
He was in the second one. It was a cameo.
Yeah,
he was there.
That's fantastic.
He has had so many cameos over the past 20 years. It's ridiculous.
He's been
he's just in a crowd outside for half a second. But if you're really looking, you can see Ron Jeremy. It's when they open the containment field and all the ghosts escape.
Ah, okay.
Then, like, it shifts to an outside shot, and on the left-hand side of the screen, there's Ron Jeremy.
Nice. You know a lot about this.
I listen to Hollywood Babylon. They talk about this.
Gotcha.
They had, what's her name? Christina Reitman on?
Olivia Munn.
No. Christina Reitman.
Christina Ricci. Eric the Red. Caesar Augustus.
Winston Churchill.
Who is the daughter of somebody Reitman?
Ivan Reitman.
Ivan Reitman. Yeah.
Of Ghostbusters.
Mm. Yeah, but yeah.
Apparently, Ivan Reitman is a big fan of
porn
or friend with Jeremy Ron Jeremy.
Jeremy Irons?
And so that came up as
that's
Ralph
Garman
was giving Christina Reitman shit for her dad's porn predilection.
Let's talk about picks. Season 2. You know, it's a new season. How do we want to determine order? Are we still going to use points, or for the first show, are we going to use some other random method?
Who's got a D3?
Right here.
I have a D6, which works as a D3.
No.
I have a
D3.
I have a bottle cap, which can end up on its edge. That's as close as you're going to get to a D3.
That is not true. There are D3s out there.
I've got a D9.
These are weird things.
I've got a D4. We can re-roll if it comes up 4.
No. Only a D3 will do.
How about 2D6 divided by 4?
No.
Wait, what? That doesn't even work.
No. It works. You have to round, but it works.
Is this Jonathan math or
maybe? This may be English major math.
Don't roll a two. You're screwed.
Half. Who's a half?
You round up to one.
I'll go first. I've written mine down already.
Thank God.
Why don't we? Hey, why don't we do it in the order of position ranking for last season, or position ranking for last week? Because they're the same.
They're the exact same. I think either of those is a fantastic idea, and I will go first then.
Oh, you know what we could do? I could write each of your names down on a card, throw them in the air, and see which one I catch.
That works really well until you find out that you're tied to your computer with headphone cords and one of the cards fell out of reach.
I'm still kind of hoping you'd be leaning backwards in the chair. You just hear this like creaking sound and a big bang. I don't want you to get hurt. I'm a big Looney Tunes fan.
The trick is you hear the creaking sound, then you hear the whoa, 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 boom.
Considering how old and rickety this chair is, that's an extreme likelihood.
All right, Jonathan, make it happen.
Doing it. I chose Contagion at number one. Mm-hmm. A big release.
Go on.
I hate you guys. It's a big release. It is, whatever. It's got everybody in it. It's time for The Help to not be in number one.
Yeah. I heard that The Help's going to go up by 25% at the box office this weekend. Just saying.
I'm okay with that because in English major math terms, that's not more than the Contagion's going to be.
I'd like to see your proof, sir.
You just got it. English math terms. There were a lot of words. No actual figures. Done.
All right.
Anyway, number two, I have The Help. Number three, I put The Debt. Not too sure about The Debt at number three, because The Warrior and, or not the, but Warrior and Bucky Larson are opening in very few, like it's 1700 for Warrior and like 13 or 1400 for Bucky Larson, something like that.
1400.
Yeah. So The Warrior, I don't know if The Debt expands, I could see it staying the same or even getting more, making more on buzz. And I think the appeal of the MMA appeal is considerably less than, like, say, the wrestler's broader professional wrestling kind of appeal. At least there's some showmanship as opposed to just two dudes beating the hell out of each other.
Actual athleticism, yeah. That's rough, yeah.
Whatever. I have no dog in that hunt, so I'm not
going to
defend anybody. So I put The Warrior at number four, and then God help us if Bucky Larson breaks into the top five.
He's born to be a star, Jonathan. Come on. Born to be a star.
Kill me now. Season three death might happen next week.
So what you're saying, that is if Bucky Larson comes to the top five, it'll be a sign of humanity's horribleness.
Oh, yeah. Along with all kinds of other proof that we've had on
this. I was going to say, thinking back, it's always a good idea to bet against humanity.
Yeah, but the trick is, if I put Bucky Larson in my top five and then it comes in like number 28, there's going to be problems.
Hold on. You said the trick is I got to take a drink.
Yeah. So we'll take the safe route out, and I'm going to put Prize at number five. So to go over one more time without any bullshit in between, number one, Contagion. Number two, The Help. Number three, The Debt. Number four, Warrior. And number five, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Go.
You know, we missed a wide release film.
Well, I could find very little about Creature, and it wasn't even on that release chart on Monday.
I actually have seen a commercial for Creature. I have not seen a commercial for Bucky Larson.
Did you open up the Creature on Box Office Mojo to look at its page?
No.
Okay. Try that. Try that real quick.
Creature was not on here.
No, it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it just showed up. Did you look at the creature page?
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, there's That's nothing. Awesome. There is no information here. There's a release date, a distributor, a genre. That's it.
And what's funny is it's being released in more theaters than Bucky Larson.
Yeah, but it wasn't there up until... I mean, it wasn't there Monday night. It sounds like... I know, Tuesday night. I did the list Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah, and looking at it, it almost...
The bubble factory.
I have a feeling that this might be somebody's really bad attempt at making a Creature from a Black Lagoon neo-horror flick.
Well, and it's listed as Creature 2011, which usually means that there's been a prior film by that name.
Which is not surprising. That's a pretty vague name.
It's true.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Creature from the Black Lagoon thing.
Yeah.
I'm watching the trailer right now. We get so lusty when you embed our videos. That's their, username thing.
Anyway, that does not mean I'm going to put it in the top five. just for the record.
Even if it breaks the top five, not taking that risk.
No. So, I will actually put down in audio that I do believe Creature is going to beat Bucky Larson. I think that's going to happen. Now,
in case you're curious, it's an American horror film based on a screenplay written by Fred Andrews and Tracy Morse. It's set in the Louisiana Bayou, mm-hmm. where a bunch of friends discover a local legend are in the fight for survival. It's an ex-Navy SEAL and his girlfriend and their friends head out to a road trip to New Orleans.
Is he a goddamn American Jedi?
I don't know. They decide to stop at a roadside convenience store owned by Chopper, played by Sid Haig, who tells them the tale of Lockjaw, a fabled godlike creature as half man, half alligator.
Yeah, and you see the vague image of the creature, and that sounds pretty accurate.
This looks terrible.
It does. Yep. It looks awful.
Horrible. And it's made by a company called the Bubble Factory. I disapprove.
I don't think
I'm not even entirely sure why, but just something about that I disapprove.
All right. No argument.
Yeah. So
for once, you and I are in complete agreement.
Either way, that ain't going into my top five. So, especially since literally, I wrote this list 4 or 5 hours ago, and I wrote it while looking at the Box Office Mojo page, and it wasn't on there. That can't be a good sign.
Well, just real quick, speaking of crazy horror films, have you guys seen this Tucker and Dale versus Evil movie that's coming out?
No. I saw somebody talking about it. On Twitter, I saw Alan Tudyk mention it.
Yes. Yes. Well, he's
in it? Okay.
Yeah. He, Tyler Labine, and Katrina Bowden are the three headliners in it. And the catchphrase was, "Evil just messed with the wrong hillbillies." And I had never heard of this until a couple weeks ago. I was at our local game store, and they're actually handing out posters for it.
Wow.
It's been winning awards at different film festivals. And I want to say it opens October sometime. But I may actually go see this. I mean, it's actually have like a semi... It's open like maybe 200 theaters.
Nice. Sounds like an art house kind of thing. Yeah, the tagline's fantastic. I dig that. Yeah.
Well, Katrina Bowden, I mean, she's just a fine actress.
All right. So I guess I should give my picks now.
Oh, were you giving picks?
Theoretically. All right. So my picks. Contagion. Is it Contagion or Contagious?
Contagion.
Contagion. Contagion, number one.
Pandemic, number one.
Pandemic.
The Help at number two. Warrior at number three. I don't know about that one, but yeah. I'm the Warrior at number three. The Dead at number four. And I'm going to hold out hope that the apes are still going to rise above Apollo 18 and Shark Knight 3D and come in at number 5.
So basically what you did there was you swapped Jonathan's 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I almost put Warrior number 2.
I could very easily see swapping my 3 and 4 myself. So.
Yeah. Actually, 2, 3, and 4 I think are probably going to be fairly close.
I think
Rise... I don't think Rise can beat Dead. I think the Dead will still...
I don't see...
I think Warrior could potentially beat the Help.
Yeah, but I don't see the Help. That's gonna depend on what sort of buzz it's getting. I don't see the Help like and the Dead reaching parity anytime soon.
No, I agree. I do agree.
Those
about
two
that.
Are going to stay considerably far apart.
Unless the help drops theaters and the Dead increases their theater count.
Yeah,
I think that's the only way that happens.
But as well as the Help is doing, you know,
it doesn't need to drop theaters right now.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, it made more money last week than the week before.
Yeah.
That's a movie that came out at the perfect time.
It sure did. I honestly, though, think that The Help could lose some audience to Contagion.
Yeah, I can see that. But
just a more mature audience. Because I don't see Contagion being in that same... I don't think it's a young person's action thriller. I think it looks like it takes more of a beat from the old school disaster movies. Towering Inferno, Airport, Poseidon Adventure kind of thing, where you have a ridiculously large cast and you just have like all these different people doing disparate things, telling a huge story.
So here's my picks. Wow. You know that Rotten Tomatoes Apollo 18 got 18% and Shark Knight got 17%?
Wow.
That's rough. That's really rough. Yeah, I was looking at that whole Rise of the Planet of the Apes in the 5th spot as well. So, but let's start at the top. At number 1, I have Contagion. At number 2, I have The Help. At number 3... I went with Warrior. Looking at these other, I don't think Creature's getting in the top 5. I don't think Bucky Larson's getting in the top 5. So then at number 4, I put The Debt. Then at number 5, I really don't want to put Rise again. I really want to put Apollo 18. But after seeing how poorly Apollo 18 did in the... In Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, yada yada. I think I'm going to have to stick with Rise and be unoriginal like you guys. So basically, Tony and I have the exact same list.
All right.
Well, now I'm definitely going to see The Debt on Friday.
and Saturday, and twice on Sunday.
Actually, it's really not going to matter because I'm going to go to the matinee showing. My $4 isn't gonna make.
You know, one thing good about The Help doing as well as it is doing, it's really helping the theater owners. Because now that it's in like its 5th weekend, the studio has taken its money from it. And once it hits like the 3rd or 4th weekend, the percentages go much more to the theater. So they're getting a good chunk these aren't blockbuster movies, but for the movies that are coming out, it's making a fair amount, and that money is going into the theater. So that's a positive.
All right. Well, you know what? It's been a really, really exciting, jam-packed, you know, just mile a minute first episode for season 2. I think, you know, we're off to a great start, and boy, I can't wait for Tony and I to get 25s this week, and Jonathan only have a 23. So,
bye-bye.
See you next week.
See ya.